Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Prime Time with Isaac Ensu.
Can build cities, can transform the world, and rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'm going to be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Prime Time with Isaac Ensu.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
All right, in the news coming up, 4:30. And we will talk about these Boeing 737 MAX 8s.
I'll tell you what, if you're getting on an airplane, aren't you looking to see if it's a Boeing 737 MAX?
You know it. So we'll get to that coming up, but... this is something we haven't gotten to yet. It's been a topic, a hot one over the last couple of days. And it's the James Dolan / Russell Westbrook getting into it with fans topic.
Yeah.
And what happens and what do we think about when our sports figures, whether it be stars or owners or whomever, get into it with paying customers at sporting events? So I want to play for you the audio of James Dolan kicking the fan out of Madison Square Garden. This happened, I don't know, maybe over the weekend or something?
Yeah, it happened a couple days ago, and apparently this isn't the only time. Now more and more people are coming forward with letters claiming that they've been kicked out too, and that Dolan and his cronies send you letters saying that if you show up again to any event that you're going to be arrested for trespassing. And apparently this is a standard operating procedure for Dolan and company.
So James Dolan's the owner of the Knicks. He's a buffoon. He's a lot like Daniel Snyder of the Redskins. Yeah.
He's out of touch. He's a rich guy.
He's a joke.
He's only rich because his dad gave him a bunch of money. And
he does a horrible job with the team.
Well, there was one.
Sensitive as all get out.
Yeah, I saw it was one NBA. It was either GM or exec. Of course, they didn't put their name on it. And they simply put... The worst kept secret in the NBA is no free agent goes to New York because of James Dolan. Like, that's like, there's a reason why they can't sign anyone, because no one wants to play for that idiot.
So here is a fan heckling Dolan and what ensues.
Sell the team!
Anything I should sell the team? You want to not come to any more games?
Why?
That's rude.
It's an opinion.
No, it's not an opinion. And... you know what? Enjoy watching them on TV.
Him. Black. Bring up, yeah. Him. Hold him for Kevin.
So if you didn't catch that, this fan saying, hey, sell the team. And he's like, hey, that's rude. Enjoy not coming to any more games. And he kicked the fan out.
Yeah.
For life.
Yeah. And then Dolan said he went on with Michael Kay. And Dolan said that he was prepared to meet with the guy and try to hear his side of the story. But now Dolan feels that it's an ambush. Dolan feels that the whole thing was set up and now he was in the right. So really...
Hold on. He's lying. We have Michael Kay clips.
Oh, okay.
We have a couple clips, which I want to play. But he's lying.
He's the victim in all this. It was an ambush. It was a setup, Rob.
If you heard that clip, he kicked him out in 10 seconds.
Yes.
It took him 10 seconds to make that decision.
It's
to
an
be
opinion.
Like,
you're gone.
You're out of here. But on the Michael Kay show, apparently, and I don't know if that specific part is in these clips we're going to play, but he said, well, you know, I was going to bring him back into the locker room and show him around and kind of try to, you know, kill him with kindness and show him what we're all about. But then I found out that if you watch those, we have them on camera. If you watch him and his buddies, that was a planned attack on me. And they moved in order to get access to me. And he said, that's when, you know, I decided... That is such a lie, because the second he did it,
he was gone.
So
and
he's
I also
so
love the fact that really, like, that's the most offensive thing. Like, not a curse word, not just one. Sell the team. Hey, you're gone.
Get out of here. Holy, but I guess he has the right to do that.
I guess you're the most sensitive human being on the planet.
Okay, so here's James Dolan trying to explain himself on the Michael Kay Show.
Here's the question, though. Nobody likes to have anything nasty yelled at them. They don't. I mean, no matter who you are.
Right.
That being said, you're probably hearing a lot of it. The team has been bad for a while.
Yeah, you hear all kinds of stuff, mm-hmm. right? What is a problem is when someone becomes confrontational,
mm-hmm.
right? And these people clearly were there for a confrontation.
But why even sit in the first row? You could sit anywhere you want. You could sit in a box if you like, and nobody could ever bother you.
That's true. I could hide.
Yeah.
I've been sitting there for 25 years,
mm-hmm.
I like the seats. They're pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I want the fans to know that I'm engaged, that I'm there, right? That ownership cares about what's happening, right? There are owners, right, who don't even live in the cities where their teams play, right? And you know, you have to wonder that the fans, you know, wonder whether anybody's at home. Right, we're at home. We're here. We're mm-hmm. right. We're experiencing, you know, the wins and the losses with the fans, and we care about mm-hmm. it. And we're, you know, I love going to the Knicks games.
But why that? Why that term? Like, I'm surprised that sell the team did it, because you in the article with Ian O'Connor, you kind of implied that any business is for sale potentially.
Yeah, I mean, look, what it's really saying, right, is quit.
What? I don't. He makes no sense, and he drives me crazy because he stumbles with all his uhs and he doesn't know what the hell he's talking.
No.
About.
So here's literally all he said to you was sell the team and kind of was laughing about
my
it.
My favorite part was, I love the seats.
Been there for 25 years. So in this next clip, it's a short clip, but you'll hear him try to explain and justify why he did what he did to this one guy.
All right. First off, what happened?
Let me just start off that, you know, I do understand, right, that, I mean, it's really, for the fans, it's about winning and losing. And we haven't been doing much winning. And so there's a real big frustration level there. We get it. I don't like losing either, right? In fact, I probably like it less than almost anybody. You want to go right into the incident? It's pretty easy. I mean, it appears that this gentleman and his friends, right, planned to do this,
mm-hmm.
right? The game, they cleared their profiles out, right? We have video, which I think we've supplied to you,
mm-hmm.
which shows them moving from one side of the arena to the other and pointing at me and
the way you were walking out.
Where I was walking, right, and saying, you know, to set this ambush up, and they did, and
wow,
you know, and then as soon as they were done with it, it was immediately sold to TMZ. Look, not for nothing, but, I shouldn't have taken the bait.
You walked right into it.
I did. I will say, we had just lost again, right?
Yeah.
Believe it or not, I get very frustrated with it, too. Especially games where, we have a young team. They're developing. They're getting better. They put their heart into the game. And a lot of times, they'll be ahead for a part of the game. They'll make it close at the end, right? And then we don't close it out, and it's you want to leave. You want to leave a winner,
right? Oh my God,
he talking about?
He's an idiot.
But I love too that he's that it's a setup, and that they sold it to TMZ. I don't know if that's true, and two, how could you sell it to TMZ if he just would have walked away? What assault? What ambush? The guy literally said one thing: sell the team. The only ambush would be if he knows that you're so dumb that you're going to kick him out for life by him yelling at you, sell the team.
Yeah, so he's
a buffoon.
He's claiming that he knew. See, he's full of crap because he didn't know that those guys had moved over there to, like, he called it an ambush.
No, he said afterwards they looked at video.
Yeah, afterwards. So there's no way that he knew that that was an ambush. He said the only reason he kicked him out was because it was an ambush. He said, I wouldn't have done anything if it would just, you know, just happen organically. But he's saying they planned it, but he only knew that afterwards. After, but he kicked him out in like 10 seconds. That guy's a moron.
He is. He's a buffoon of the highest order.
How did he make his money?
His dad gave it to him.
Oh, well, that's one way to do it.
I mean, he didn't do anything.
What does daddy do?
That I don't know. But he is not a self-made man in any shape or form. He got his money from dad.
Well, I don't know. I this leads to a bigger discussion, which we can get into next.
His dad is the founder of Cablevision, which is the main cable company in the New York area.
We can get into this next because it brings in the Russell Westbrook thing too, but where are the protections for sports figures? Like, nobody has any sympathy for James Dolan. Like, no. I think most people think you got to have a thicker skin than that. You can't take the bait. He even said it. Just keep walking. Your team sucks and you're the owner. So you just can't be falling for crap like that.
No.
At the same time, there is a debate here about, you know, where's the line for fans who pay their money to come into these games and shout things at these guys?
Well, I have an answer for you. And the thing is, an ambush.
We'll get to that next. And Russell Wilson. Oh, there's new news on the Russell Wilson Utah Jazz fan front.
Ooh, there is.
You see
is.
This? Yeah, he's suing Russell Wilson.
Of course he is.
He is. We'll get to that next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, in the news in 10 minutes, we're talking about James Dolan and also sliding into the Russell Westbrook discussion here.
Falls into the same category
of
where's the line between fans and players / owners, executives.
Well, the NBA is unique, right? Although baseball, I mean,
there's no closer fans.
No. Than NBA fans.
Than in the NBA. In fact, in most arenas now, if you have enough money, you can pay to sit basically on the bench, right? It's the bench, and then there's like a Gatorade cooler, and then fans.
But this happens in baseball, and it's sort of a age-old tradition in baseball, heckling outfielders. If you sit down close to a dugout, it's quiet enough typically, or there are quiet moments where you're really close to guys in the on-deck circle. Or
if you're sitting in the outfield, too. Remember, Adam Jones had this playing center field for the Orioles, claiming that in Boston that people were throwing racial slurs at him.
This is nothing new. But at the same time, a lot of NBA players are coming forward saying, this is happening way too much. These fans are really close to us, and we're getting a lot of racial slurs thrown at us.
Yeah.
Russell Westbrook said that the Utah Jazz fan Monday night said to him, get back down on your knees like you're used to. Now, the Jazz fan says that's not what he said.
The Jazz fan says that he said, sit down and ice your knees, bro.
Right.
I'm sure that's exactly what he was saying, the word for word.
Well, I'm going to side with Westbrook on this because, well, it's not black and white. Okay, first of all, the get back down on your knees like you're used to. Russell Wilson said he took that
Westbrook.
I'm sorry,
you keep saying Wilson. Yeah, it's slip of the tongue.
Westbrook. He said that he took that as racial.
Yeah.
Which, I mean,
you can take it as racial or sexual. Either way, it's derogatory.
I looked at it more sexual, if he took it racially, that's concerning. The Utah fan, I've seen the interview with the Utah fan, and that guy got kicked out. The Jazz did an investigation into this, and they kicked him out of that arena for life. So this guy's full of crap, the fan. He's trying to paint it as, because Westbrook ultimately threatened him and his wife.
He said he would F him up and he would do the same thing to his wife.
This guy played the whole, we were just having fun and my wife didn't say a thing and it was her first NBA game and this is terrifying for her. It's like, dude, shut up.
And you have a history. His Twitter is littered with crap.
So he's full of it.
Yeah.
He's absolutely full of it. Now he's suing Russell Westbrook. So the first thing is, which is stupid too, but I think there is culpability on the athlete side in this instance and in all instances, in that this is a general statement, but when you sign on the dotted line for that big old paycheck you're getting, some of this comes with that, and you've got to be able to handle it better than some guys handle it, right? That's a general statement.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that or disagree with that?
No, I agree with it, that there is a certain level of scrutiny that you are going to take as a public figure.
You got to have a thicker skin. Now, yes. if they're throwing racial slurs at you all night, I totally understand where a guy, or not even racial slurs, just, you know, you're having a bad game, you're a human being, you're young, they're right there, they won't shut up. I totally understand how this could get out of hand, and I don't necessarily come down too hard on players who slip up and maybe go too far. However, Russell Westbrook seems to be a guy that's always getting into it with fans,
yeah.
Whereas there are other guys who are, certainly LeBron gets a lot of heckling, and he rarely gets into it, or if ever gets into it with fans. So some of this does, it's like, Russell, man, you're constantly doing this.
And you can't threaten.
No,
There's a difference between engaging with a fan and being pissed, right? I get it. If you take that as a racial slur, or you take it as, you know, basically someone's, you know, using it as a sexual thing, either way, right? I get why you're pissed about it. And I don't blame you for being pissed. I don't blame you for turning around and telling someone to F off. I don't blame you for going to get an usher and getting a guy kicked out of a game. But you can't. If someone says something derogatory to you, it doesn't make it okay for you to turn around and say that you're going to kick his ass and kick his wife's ass.
Right. But again,
two wrongs don't make a right.
No, they don't. But at the same time, I just don't, like, Russell Westbrook's a fiery guy.
Sure.
And I just don't want to come down too hard on him for slipping up. He was wrong. But at the same time, this guy, and this texter is correct, this fan, this Utah fan, deleted his Twitter account because someone found an old tweet from last fall where he said Westbrook needs to go back where he came from, hashtag MAGA.
Yeah, and there was another one that said this Westbrook guy is a pee. Someone needs to kick his ass.
So that guy knew exactly what he was doing, baiting him.
Well, here's the thing. That fan's ideal situation was for Westbrook to turn around and get in an argument with him.
He got exactly what he wanted.
He got exactly what he wanted. The problem is that he got kicked out and he got banned, and now he's pissed about it and he wants to sue Russell Westbrook for threatening him. That guy got exactly what he wanted. Everyone that yells and jeers and throws stuff at players, they want a moment of your attention as the athlete or the owner. They want to know that they got under your skin.
Yes.
They want to know that they affected you. So when you take the bait, you give them exactly what they want.
That, which is why you shouldn't take the bait. But I get that guys don't always do this. James Dolan obviously didn't do this.
Yeah.
Russell Westbrook rarely does. It's just, to me, there's got to be a little better policing of this. I feel bad for players when those fans are so close to them, and fans pay, you know, because they pay exorbitant prices to get in these games.
Doesn't give you the right.
They think they can say whatever the hell they want.
Yes.
And it's BS, man.
There's this notion that you're right, that if I pay a certain amount of money, I can bring whatever heat I want to the game, and there's no repercussion. And I think that's ridiculous. I'm with you. There shouldn't be just this blanket, shut up and take it, you're a professional athlete. And I think a lot of places now are putting in a zero tolerance policy where a player can get someone kicked out, or fans can report other fans, because no one wants to hear that. The players don't want to hear it. I don't think the fans around that guy wants to hear that guy yelling and screaming the entire time. And I think most people can draw the line between playful banter or booing and heckling and what crosses a line. I think there's a difference between you suck or go back to Oklahoma City or whatever versus get on your knees where you're used to, or when you get some guy that just starts raining profanities down upon someone.
Yeah, so I don't know what the answer is, but I don't know. I mean, better security, just policing it better, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think Russell Westbrook's a hothead. And he's got a screw loose too. So to me, and Ron Artest, same way, you know, the
Yeah, the, at least, they call at least it Ron the, Artest, the malice at the malice palace. At the least palace. Ron Artest had something thrown at him.
No, I know, but these guys can't go into the stands. These guys are easy targets because these fans know that they're a little off.
Yep.
and they're easily baited.
And here's the thing: the Oklahoma City should have someone behind their bench now at every single game because you better believe that there's going to be a drunken idiot down below that now wants a piece of Russell Westbrook.
That's right.
Because again, they want their 10 minutes of fame.
Well, the more they see that you take the bait, the more they're going to bait you.
Yeah.
So that's the hard part of it. That's why guys can diffuse this better by just never taking it. And eventually they'll move on to somebody else who they think will take the bait.
And I don't think that this is, an issue that is of utmost importance. I don't think that this is like a major crisis facing the league because I do think that most players are smart enough to not take the cheese. They're smart enough to not go up into the stands, to not cause a situation like this. But just because it's not the most pressing matter in the world doesn't mean that you shouldn't look into it. And I do think that fans, if you're putting a blame on this, I'll always go 70-30. I think the fans are ridiculous in most of these cases. Because we've all been to games and we hear the things that come out of people's mouths. And the amazing part is you would never say this in any other walk of life. You would never say it to someone's face on the street. You would never say it in a workplace environment. You would never say it at a coffee shop or at a restaurant. But there's something about the sporting event where you feel like all the rules of society go out of play. And I think that needs to be walked back a little bit with fans and maybe kicking some guys out and banning them. Maybe that wakes some of the other ones up.
I agree. Here's a text in the Better You Today text line 55305. Somebody asked, I wonder how good the best baiter is. Like, is there a master baiter?
What? Remember, there was one guy that
I enjoyed that.
It was the Washington Bullets and now the Washington Wizards. But he was like the super heckler, and he had season tickets behind the opposing player's bench, mm-hmm. and they said he was never vulgar. They said he was never like out of bounds, but they said he would do his homework. Jordan used to talk about him, and he would sit behind the opponent's bench, and he would not shut up, and it drove people crazy. And he was known around the league that when you went to a Bullets or a Wizards game, this guy was going to give you the business.
I mean, I remember one way back when in Kansas City going to a Royals game, and I think it was the Brewers. Turner Ward was playing right field for mm-hmm. them. And we had a guy just down the row who was all over him the entire game. And it was freaking hilarious. He never cussed. It was good-spirited. It was funny. And the whole section was just loving it. And eventually Turner Ward just turned around and gave him like, I don't remember what he did, but he gave him like a tip of the cap, like, dude,
that was
pretty good. And so I get that some of this stuff is just part of sports and athletes. I don't know. It can be fun. Most of it is, really.
Sure.
Because I think that, you know, like if you look, you go down to a Blazer game, for example, I think that the fans that, you know, the courtside fans, I think a lot of them are there solely.
It's a scene be seen sort of thing, right?
I think a lot of them are there solely to either make headlines or just show that they have those tickets. Sure. I think it's not all of them, but you know, it's just like, these are the people that are down there for that reason. And that's where you find them. But some of it can be fun and good natured. And there's a lot of Blazer fans that are down there that are, you know, kind of yucking it up with different players here and there. And it's just, you know, it's a little fun back and forth banter. There's nothing major going on there. But you get a guy like this, man, and I side with Russell Westbrook. As crazy as that dude is, I just can't blame him for going off on the guy. I just can't.
No, but you...
You shouldn't do it. I think the fan's way worse. F that fan, man. Yeah. Kick his ass out of there. And I also think it's crazy, but Utah apparently has this
it's awful.
Reputation of being a bunch of racists. But it's like, dude, he's really just standing up yelling racial things at Russell Westbrook, and everybody around him in the section around him is just like, oh, that's fine.
Well, and that's
why he does it all the time.
And that's why I wonder when they went, they did the investigation, what did they find out about this guy? Because apparently he's a season ticket holder. I'm assuming that he's down there. And, you know, maybe the people around him are like, dude, this jackass comes to the games all the time and he's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's, I'm with you. I don't think it's like the worst thing in the world, but players are saying that it happens a lot. and it's a lot of racial stuff.
Yeah.
And those fans are really close. They got to do, the NBA needs to step in and help.
If you're going to put a barrier-free zone like that close between the players, you've got to, I'm with you. You need to address this because the last thing that you can have is another Ron Artest situation. And I don't know if it's necessarily trending that way. I don't think this ever got that close, but it's just, it's poor form. No one wins by having fans yelling anything racial or sexual, derogatory wise towards a player, and a player yelling back, threatening to blankety blank you and your wife. And it's just, it's a no win situation for everyone. And it's just a bad look. It's bad optics.
Hey, what's up with these planes? We'll get to that next on In the News on the Fan. Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, that's right. I'm Isaac. That's Souk. How are you?
Okay.
It is March 13th, 2019. It is time for the news. I am your noted newsman.
I'm ready. I'm ready for my news, although I think we're supposed to break right now.
Who cares?
The boss was just in here, too. He didn't say anything about it.
No, he's been meeting with the big boss who's in town.
So he's got bigger things
to VPs
fry than us not being on the clock.
The holidays aren't pulling up. I don't know what today is.
Well, really?
My internet. Well,
now I've got nothing. I don't know what I'm supposed to celebrate today.
Let's just move right on to the big news.
Let's do it.
And that is that the Boeing 737 MAX 8s and 9s are being grounded all over the world, and now Donald Trump has grounded ours here in the United States.
And we heard from one of the bros. You know, we get the flight attendant lady that that texts into us from time to time.
We have insiders in pretty much every business.
We do.
That text us.
And I think we need to do some digging to find out if she's a hot as well, which would be double excellent. But we had one of the bros said that he dates her. And I guess her and her fellow flight attendants are thrilled because every one of them was terrified over this.
So what the hell's been going on here? Well, okay, so you had the crash in Ethiopia, and it was the Boeing, it was the 737 MAX 8.
Yep.
Killed all 157 on board, and then there was one back in October, same plane, that was in Indonesia. And pilots were complaining of these planes. Now it's come out that pilots were complaining about the planes before those two crashes. They were U.S. pilots that were saying that the autopilot would go into a nosedive after takeoff. And they said that the aircraft's, like, the flight manual was the one pilot wrote that it was, quote, criminally insufficient, end quote. So basically, it had a safety system in these new planes that were installed that no one really knew how to use, and they weren't properly trained how to use it.
No, planes like this don't go down. Brand new planes aren't supposed to crash. So supposedly, with two of these going down now, this is about as big a red flag as you could possibly get.
Right. So all over the world, you know, Canada, Italy, China, Germany, Mexico, France, they're taking these planes out of operation. U.S. hadn't done it until Trump said, hey, you're out of the air. You're out of the big air.
You're done. Big air, ocean air, land air.
Yeah, you're out of all the airs. And he pulled them out, and Boeing then released, which is so weird. Like, Boeing then releases a statement like, yeah, we totally agree with that.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. Well, why didn't you do it?
You knew what was going down. I'll be interested to see the lawsuits that come from this if Boeing knew about some of these problems and didn't do anything or didn't offer a recall or a solution. This could be some really, really bad stuff.
Well, yeah.
If this ends up being... Well, there's a difference between having a flaw in a plane and not being aware of it and a flaw in a plane that you knew was potentially disastrous and you didn't do anything about it and it killed a couple hundred people.
Totally.
By the way, I've got your back. It's National Good Samaritan Day.
Okay.
It's National.
That's me.
It's National Jewel Day.
Not me. Wait, Jewel the singer?
No, I think Jewel as in like, you know.
I'm out on jewels.
National Canine Veteran Day.
Yes, love that.
National Registered Dietitian Day. National Open an Umbrella Indoors Day.
Stupid.
And National Earmuff Day.
Stupid.
All right, there you go.
So... people around the country are all freaking out because, you know, everybody's flying and they're like looking at their, you know, because it'll tell you what type of aircraft you have.
Yeah.
And there was one flight, like Southwest has 34 of these airplanes in operation. They're not anymore, but they did. And then American Airlines had 24 of them. So there's a lot of planes out there that were flying you know, in the U.S.
Terrifying.
One of the flights, they said, I was looking at kind of where they were going, and one of them was from Dulles to Vegas. And so I guess what people were doing is they were looking and seeing if their flight was one of these planes. They were, it was like pandemonium. People were showing up like, hey, man, get me on a different flight. Yeah, I ain't taking this flight.
Well, can you blame anyone? Again, airlines don't crash for no reason. And you've had two of these now in a couple of months. That's not so good.
Now, what if they said, what if you're going to a very important thing?
Yeah.
And they said to you, look, sir, this is the last flight out. We assure you, my fingers aren't crossed behind my back right now. We assure you that this plane is safe. We will get you where you want to go. And we're going to give you a $250 voucher.
Not flying on that.
Hop on, baby.
Nope. Not doing it.
Wouldn't do it, huh?
No. Airlines don't go down. And when they do, you should have a big, giant, why the hell did that happen? In fact, a couple years ago, when we were flying overseas and we were going to go out to Thailand and Indonesia, the first thing I looked at was when the, you know, you click on what flights you want and you can eliminate certain character or certain airlines. I wasn't having anything to do with Malaysian Airlines. And I don't care if that was being knee-jerk reactionary or not, but they didn't have the best record. They had like three planes, right, that all had problems. One of those looked like was probably a pilot situation. It took it down, but I wasn't flying it. I'm just like, no, there's a lot of other options out there. There's a lot of other planes for me to get on that I don't need to be on this plane.
I just text Harrison Ford, say, come get me, bro.
I think that's a bad idea.
Gotta get to Vegas.
Although, you know, you can land on a golf course.
What's safer, flying with Harrison Ford in his single engine or one of these babies? I don't know. It's 50-50.
Then I think I'd roll the dice with the Boeing one.
All right,
you know how I feel about individuals flying their own planes. That's never a good idea.
Well, especially him. He's like crashed like five times.
I know.
He's lived.
Maybe Harrison Ford is immortal. Like, if you survive like two, three plane crashes, at that point, are you like, F it, I don't care?
I think you might be.
Yeah, you're like, you know, like, this is...
They don't hurt.
This isn't killing me.
Like, he's on like a speaking tour. Like, you know, plane crashes aren't that bad.
Fine.
You guys are fear-mongers.
He is Han Solo, I mean, and Indiana Jones for that matter.
So I have a follow-up to the mystery Amazon deliveries story that we had for you on Monday. We have the latest on that next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, the Hot 5 to 5 in 10 minutes. More NFL news. Hey, some big Blazer chatter out there we got to get to. Tell you about that.
It's a nice win.
Last night, yeah. CJ McCollum, you know him?
Yeah, he outscored the Clippers in the fourth quarter by himself.
En fuego.
Yes.
As the kids say. That's what the kids say. You know what that means? On fire.
Thank you, Master of Spanish, Isaac Robb.
You're welcome. So I have a follow-up for you. Monday, we had the story of the two roomies over in, I think they were in like Southeast Portland or something. Mm. They were getting the mysterious Amazon packages.
Yeah, which for some reason they found creepy, but it was like a juicer and, right, and something else, which I think is awesome. I don't think that's creepy at all.
Yeah, we determined that they were far too fear-based.
Yeah.
And they needed to get out of their bubble wrap. And
yeah, if a juicer shows up on your door and you didn't order the juicer, just be happy that you've got a juicer.
It doesn't mean they're going to put your hand in it.
No. Or maybe it does. I don't know. A foot?
Yeah, it might. But you're not that special. No one wants to kill you. No. So just take the juicer and consider yourself lucky.
We think way too much in this country about ourselves. That, like, there's all these people that are just waiting to murder us. No, there's not. You're not murder worthy. Go away.
So we've got an answer to what the hell's going on now.
Oh, all right.
Because a lot of people have been saying that the same thing is happening to them, and it's a scheme, and it's a fake review scheme, and it's called brushing. That's what they call it. Brushing.
Okay.
It's headed by Dana Altman. Hello?
I enjoyed that.
Thank you.
I don't know if
Thank
anyone
you.
Else got that, but I yes. enjoyed that.
Thank
I
you.
Thought that was great.
The scam, so what it does is it inflates the numbers of good reviews that a product has, and it moves that item up on Amazon's website. So basically what happens is, it's called brushing. It says the more reviews a product has, the more likely you are to see it on Amazon's website and buy it. So here's how it works in a nutshell. The seller will buy their own product and then either ship that product or a cheap trinket out to an unsuspecting person. Then because it looks like someone actually bought the product, the seller can go online and write a fake positive review.
Ah,
does that make sense?
I see. But by the way,
wow, that's convoluted and interesting.
I don't think that that's awful either. So you know what? Just go ahead and send them to me. You write whatever review you want.
I am so with you.
Send me the products. If it's great, I'm happy. And if it's a piece of junk, I throw it away.
I'm all for this.
Because I do love
I hate fake reviews. But at the same time, I don't know. How much do you use reviews?
95%. Like, it's a big...
On Amazon or on
Amazon.
Everything?
Amazon.
Yeah, Amazon for sure. But, like, do you use, like, Yelp and...
No, not really.
Sometimes I don't trust Yelp.
You got to learn how to get through the muck on Yelp.
See, what I do like on Yelp, and I do this on Amazon a little bit too, but with Amazon, and it all depends on the number of reviews. If it's only got, like, 20 to 30 reviews, then I can't trust any of them. But if you got like 1,000 reviews on there, I feel like you can get a pretty good feel. And the truth of the matter is, just go look at the 3- and 4-star reviews. I feel like they give you a better idea. The 5-star review, it's always too glowing. The 1-star, it's like the person had a bad experience. The 3- and 4-star reviews will give you the good and the negative of a product. And I think that gives you a better idea of what you're dealing with.
Now, when you ride, well, you don't ride Uber or Lyft a lot, do you?
No, but when, those are certainly in my repertoire, but no, not on a regular basis.
See, I always give... I give them 5 stars no matter what.
Sure.
Every time.
Even if they're bad?
Well, I mean, it's hard to be a bad Uber or Lyft driver. Like, to me, it's like, look, you got me where I wanted to go.
I'm with you. For the most part, I do the same thing.
Some of them... I've had a few of them where it's like, oh, my God, this person can't drive, and it's freaking me out.
Yeah.
I'll still give them a 5. I'm like, ah, poor guy.
See, and I don't. I'm with you that most of the time I'll go 5 stars, but if the person's an a-hole...
Well, they're never... I don't know. I've never had an a-hole. I've had one.
Yeah.
I've had one guy who was... God, this guy wouldn't shut up either. He was awful.
Or a guy, like you said, that is driving horribly. Yeah, but, I'm not going 5 stars.
I'm not a big review guy in terms of... I never leave reviews. I don't know who has time to do that.
No, I don't.
Ever.
Yeah, but to me, it just seems like a waste of my own personal
but
time.
I appreciate that they're there because I buy a s-ton of stuff on Amazon. And I really do rely. In fact, I just ordered a cordless drill, and I went exclusively off of reviews. I'll look on there and be like, well, that one's got 3 stars. No, I'm not doing that. All right. This one's got 1,000 reviews, 4.5 stars. Yeah. All right. You'll go with that one. It's a good value. I think reviews on Amazon to me are really, really valuable.
So does it bother you that a lot of them are fake?
No, because again, I don't feel like I'm getting schnookered by just a handful of reviews. I won't buy a product if it doesn't have a ton of reviews and that it's well reviewed. Because I don't think they're doing this for 1,000 reviews. I don't think they're sending out 1,000 of their products and hoping that they're going to get fake reviews.
Amazon said it is constantly working to detect fake reviews, pull them off the website, and hold offenders accountable. It also said it has safeguards in place to try to ensure only real customers are writing reviews. So there you go. So they're not going to die, those two people.
No.
Annie and Frank or whoever they were.
And you got a juicer and a foot massager out of it.
Well, they got more than that.
Hopefully it ends up being good.
All right. That is your In the News for March 13th, 2019. The Hot 5 at 5 is next. We'll tell you where Earl Thomas landed, a big trade. The Niners upgrade their defense. Le'Veon Bell has made his choice. And major conference basketball tournaments are underway as well. So we'll get to all that coming up next on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.